Hurricane Dorian, one of the strongest storms ever to hit land in the Atlantic, sits just off the Florida coast. Parts of Palm Beach and Broward counties brace themselves. People in the Bahamas continue to weather the storm. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. The Category 4 storm is moving at 1 mile per hour, practically sitting atop the Bahamas and just off the Florida coast. Earlier today, Governor Ron DeSantis announced evacuation orders for some of the residents in our area.
From Palm Beach County all the way up to Nassau, the Florida-Georgia border, all those coastal counties have issued evacuation orders. Get out now while you have time, while there's fuel available, and you'll be safe on the roads.
We'll get the latest update on Dorian. We'll learn more about the devastation in the Bahamas, as well as efforts already underway to get help to the residents of the island. All of that today on Sundial. First, the news. So much for joining us. Hope that you are safe and that you are ready in case Hurricane Dorian does make a turn. Hurricane Dorian, the strongest storm to hit the Bahamas, is a Category 5. It's been downgraded to a Category 4. There are photos and videos circulating right now from residents who caught glimpses of the damage, especially during the eye of the storm. Dorian remains about 100 miles off the coast of Florida near Palm Beach County, and the tracks have it moving northerly. But we're joined now by meteorologist Cindy O'Quinn. She's with the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. Cindy, great to have you.
Thank you.
All right, so we heard the forecast just a moment ago. Are there any models, because it got downgraded to a Category 4, are there any models where it shows it losing more power?
Actually, it is expected to continue to lose power. It's been sitting on top of the Bahamas, which has had some decreases in the strength. But also, we've been looking at the eyewall replacement cycle, which also can lead to some losing of the intensification. But as it interacts with land, because it is getting fairly close to that Florida coastline, we will continue to see it moving eventually. It's still moving west right now, but taking more of that west-northwesterly, then that northwest and northerly turn. And then it actually gets into an environment that has quite a bit of shear, and that's going to help downgrade it more, but not actually till it gets to closer to the top of Florida.
You know, I mean, it was at one point an hour, it's still going at 1 mile per hour. I mean, what caused it to slow down like that?
Well, it lost its steering current. So it was just really sort of imagining a sailboat sitting out in the middle of a lake with no wind really to push it along, and that's what's happened with this storm.
All right, so what happens when it sits there? Can it gain strength? Or, again, as you said, we're expecting it to continue to lose power.
Right. We've been seeing the pressure has been rising. So that's one of the really good things that we have been watching with this storm is that that pressure has been dropping. So that's a good thing. And pressure is rising. So as the pressure is rising, the wind speeds have been dropping. So that's what we've really been seeing with that eyewall replacement cycle. And also as it sits right on top of Grand Bahama, you're getting some of the effect of tearing up the hurricane a little bit as it's sitting over land.
All right, so the storm again sitting just off the coast. It's disturbing to see it. It's just sitting there and it's so close. But at what point do we expect it to turn and finally just move away from us?
Believe it or not, it's going to be about 18 to 24 hours before we really even start to see that turn. But you got to just realize it's still only moving 1 mile per hour. So even if it's 18 hours until it makes that turn, it's only going to be going maybe 18, 20-something miles. So not a lot of shift in the track. Unfortunately, just devastating news for the Bahamas.
So what can we expect in South Florida? Miami-Dade probably will get something, will experience some kind of winds and rains, but Broward, Palm Beach County will get a lot more.
Right. So we're looking at, we're even going to see a little bit of a storm surge. So you have a storm surge potential up in Palm Beach County of 3 to 5 feet, areas north of Lake Worth. And then we're looking at inundation of water around 2 to 4 feet above ground level from areas Lake Worth to Boca, and then coastal sections of Broward County. Now the wind, tropical storm force winds are expected over Palm Beach County this afternoon through Tuesday night. The greatest chances will be over the eastern sections of the county. So we could see some hurricane force wind gusts. And then and as we go a little bit inland, we could see some 60-mile coastal area and around Metro Palm Beach County on Tuesday. but we're already seeing some of the rain bands that's been moving across the area. When you have the rain bands pulling through, that's when you'll see some of the stronger rain gusts.
And remind people just real quickly, when you see hurricane warning, hurricane watch, what that means exactly?
The hurricane watch means that your area will see hurricane conditions, usually so within 36 to 48 hours or within that 48-hour time period. Hurricane warning means that hurricane conditions are coming up pretty closely. Within the next 24 hours, you will have hurricane conditions.
Are there any models or is there any concern that it could continue west or push inland?
The models actually are showing some good news. They were in consensus, finally, that they were all staying very close as they hug the coast of Florida, but just staying just offshore. But again, this storm has had a very eccentric past. It's defied the models. The models have had a hard time grasping onto it. So we still need to be on guard. But again, we are going to be experiencing some of the winds, some of the storm surge in the storm, even with it staying offshore. But again, we just need to very closely watch Dorian, and until it actually makes the turn, then we can really say that for sure that turn has happened, and we'll continue to track it as it goes away from Florida.
And now, I mean, you know, not to, you know, get anybody concerned, but I mean, just looking at what's going on out there, there are three other disturbances, two in the Atlantic, one in the Gulf. But I mean, what should we even think of those?
Right now, probably the biggest focus is on Dorian and the immediate impacts, but we have to also realize that once you get into late August, you're getting in towards that one-month time period to six-week time period of when we have the most activity in the Atlantic Basin and the Gulf of Mexico. So it is historically, climatologically, we're in the time that we are going to see a lot of development. But the good news is that where Hurricane Dorian has gone through is actually the water temperatures will cool. So those areas less likely to see any of the tropical storm development to this extent for at least until the water temperatures recover.
Cindy O'Quinn is a meteorologist with the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. Cindy, thank you for the update.
All right, thank you.
And again, we're going to continue to provide updates on the storm's track as it progresses. WLRN has put together a list of resources to keep you up to date to help you prepare. Now, you can find it at WLRN.org. Look for the banner Hurricane Ready on our homepage. Don't forget that you can also download the Florida Storms app. It's free. You can download it for your iPhone or Android. Now, still to come, we're going to get an update on the situation on the Bahamas. Hurricane Dorian still pouring down on the Bahamas. That's coming up next. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Well, many parts of the Bahamas continue to face the pounding of wind and rain as the storm Hurricane Dorian sits there, moving again at just 1 mile per hour. Video from the Abaco Islands yesterday showed rooftops destroyed, battered vehicles, floating debris. WLRN's America's editor Tim Padgett has been monitoring the damage from the storm. He joins us now to talk about what's been going on. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be here, Lewis.
And by the way, if you have family in the Bahamas, we want to hear from you, or perhaps you travel there often. Give us a call. We want to hear what you've heard. What information are you getting? 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. Again, if you have family or friends there, maybe you travel there a lot, you have property there, you know, let us know what you've been hearing so far. Tim, this is the strongest recorded storm to hit the Bahamas. And right. It's still, you know, over the Grand Bahama, the northernmost island. What do we know so far about the damage?
The damage is greatest so far, anyway, on Abaco Island. That's where the hurricane made landfall yesterday afternoon at a point on Abaco to the north called Marsh Harbor, a town there that is now, for all intents and purposes, underwater. Because along with the Category 5 wind that you had coming ashore, you had about 20-foot storm surge. And keep in mind, the Bahamas are all very much at sea level. There's nothing really to block that storm surge when it comes. And so you had whole neighborhoods, whole towns, in, as I said in Marsh Harbor's case, being submerged underwater. And that raises a lot of other fears. For example, what happens to people who get caught in that? it becomes very hard to find them, for example. It just creates a layer upon layer of tragedy.
Do we have any reports of injuries or fatalities at this point?
There is one reported fatality of an 8-year-old boy yesterday in Abaco. That has not been confirmed by government officials, and also reported was that his sister was missing.
Again, the number is 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. Again, if you have anything to share with us about what is going on in the Bahamas, again, if you've been able to get through to anybody or heard from any of your friends or family about, again, how they have weathered the storm. And again, the main island still getting smacked by Hurricane Dorian. You just kind of laid out for us what the Bahamas are like. And so when storms come through, it just rolls over the area. But
right.
I mean, for the most part, the Bahamas have been hit quite a bit because they're standing out there. Mm-hmm. They're prepared for anything like this or no? I mean, granted, this is the strongest recorded storm that's ever hit them. But are they prepared for these kind of things?
They're better prepared than they were, say, a generation ago. And I think that goes for most of the islands out in the Atlantic and the Caribbean. You have seen better building code established. They've been trying to replicate what they see in Florida, for example. The problem is, I don't think any of these small, and let's face it, these are developing countries, don't have the resources. I don't really think you can expect them to be prepared for the back-to-back pummeling they've been taking over the past decade. I mean, let's not forget, it was only 3 years ago that the Bahamas had a similar hurricane like this come through, Hurricane Matthew, remember? It was almost as strong, and there's an eerie deja vu there because it was going to hit us. It was going to hit us, went through the Bahamas, and then took that northward turn and went along the Florida coast. So it's very eerie, the sort of the deja vu, as I said.
Is it easy or difficult to get off the islands if people were, because I mean, a few days ago they were calling for the evacuation.
Right. On Friday, the Prime Minister, Hubert Minnis, started calling for massive evacuation of all of those many. We forget that there are more than 700 islands in the Bahamas archipelago, and many of them are just very tiny. And you've got to get those people off those islands and onto the bigger islands when a major storm like this comes, because a storm of this power, and we'll see probably in the aftermath of this one, a lot of those small islands that people were evacuated from onto Abaco and Grand Bahamas may not even be there anymore. So that's how urgent it is to have that kind of massive evacuation that they had over the weekend.
Have we heard anything new from the Prime Minister?
Yesterday, he was pretty distraught. In fact, according to the Bahamian media, he gave a press conference at which he was in tears, saying this was the worst day of his life. He said, "I'm a physician, and I've never seen anything this threatening to humans before."
Do we have a sense of how many people did get off the island, though?
Not numerically, no. There are about 17,000 people who live on Abaco. You've got about 50,000 people who live on Grand Bahama. You figure you've got hundreds then maybe coming in from the several smaller islands that surround those two main islands. So it's not that great a number, but still, they're people, and you've got to get them out of harm's way.
I've already heard of groups that are starting to collect or will begin collecting supplies and relief for the Bahamas right away.
Oh, right. You've already seen the hashtag Bahama Strong become a fixture on social media since last night, really. And you're seeing the city of Miami and Miami-Dade County coordinate with, for example, the local Bahamian community here, the churches in Coconut Grove in the area known as Little Bahama. They are starting relief efforts now, donations, everything from food and first aid to small generators and diapers, et cetera. So I think in South Florida, you're going to see a massive relief effort, particularly because we've all here in South Florida, we've just, as Ken Russell, the Miami City Commissioner who's coordinating a lot of this, he was pointing out, look, you've all been shopping for the past week for supplies because we thought we were going to get hit. Well, we're not going to get hit, so we got all these supplies. Don't turn them in. Give them to the Bahamas now.
You know, I mean, obviously, and this will be something to talk about after the storm has left us, is, again, how we're seeing storms grow in power and intensity. And then you have islands like the Bahamas, but also the Caribbean, mm-hmm. becoming more vulnerable. How much more urgent is it now to make these communities more resilient to the storms? I'd imagine there's a lot to learn from Dorian.
Oh, I think it's more urgent than ever. Every time I talk to, say, a prime minister from a Caribbean island, like Dominica, for example. They got hit so hard back in 2017 by both Maria and Irma. The point they always make is that, look, we have very little responsibility for example, the greenhouse emissions that create global warming, but yet we take the brunt of the suffering from global warming in the form of these more powerful hurricanes, because the Caribbean and the Bahamas are like a bowling alley, really, for most of these powerful storms that have been developing in recent years. And so there is a greater effort now. You saw, for example, the head of the Secretary General of the UN, Guterres, come to meet with the CARICOM, the Caribbean Community heads of state, this summer, to start some very serious coordination on how to make these islands more resilient to these storms, whether it's better seawalls to prevent storm surge or watersheds to make storm surge less deadly, for example, how to get more of their infrastructure underground, how to, again, as I was saying before, how they can better replicate building codes that we have in the United States for things like hurricanes. We have got to start making these islands more resilient, or, as I said, these storms, we're seeing what we used to call storms of the century now arriving in the
regularly.
Caribbean, you know, every 1 or 2 years. And it's it unless something is done to make them more of a bulwark against these kinds of storms, we're going to see them disappear.
And we're seeing storms grow very quickly. When this was just forming just south of Puerto Rico,
right,
the projections had it maybe at a Category 3, and then it became a 5. Again, talking with WLRN America's editor Tim Padgett, and again, we want to hear from you. If you are hearing anything from the Bahamas, if you're trying to get through and you're able to get through, if you've heard anything, we'd love to know the latest updates. You can give us a call, 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Tim, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lewis.
All right, I want to go now to state lawmaker Chevron Jones. He's representing West Park, Broward County. His family currently is in the Bahamas. Mr. Jones, thank you so much for joining us today. I mean, first, let me just start with this. You have family in the Bahamas. Have you heard anything?
Yes. Actually, I was last night on the onset of the storm. Coming in, everything was pretty calm. As we moved into the night, my cousins, we were all on WhatsApp. They started sending videos and the damage that was happening over in the Bahamas. And the videos and the pictures are they're heartbreaking. Just to prove that everything is wiped out. My cousins and I are on a group chat with each other, and we spoke up until this morning when the text messages stopped because they were trying to conserve as much of their battery life on their phones as possible. But I mean, there's a lot of things that's underwater. There are families that can't find other family members. There are homes that are underwater, and it's bad. And my cousins and I. Are grateful that they're okay, but there are some families that have lost everything.
You know, we were talking just before we had you on about the resiliency of the islands, the Bahamas and the Caribbean in general, because they get hit by storms a lot more frequently than Florida will. But, I mean, what can you say to how the Bahamas is prepared to handle this? Again, this, though, being the strongest storm recorded to hit the Bahamas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're right, Lewis. I mean, the people in the Bahamas are resilient, but the infrastructure within the Bahamas is another thing. I think Bahamas is moving into a place because a lot of my family work for the government. They are moving into an area where they are starting to model a lot of like our building codes and a lot of the things that we do here in the States. They are trying to follow some of those things in which we're doing, but their resources are not as big as ours, so they have to depend on stuff coming from overseas to help them do those things. I think it'd be very beneficial for not only just the state of Florida, but the U.S. to help some of these countries who are within our Caribbean region, to help them as much as possible, to bring them up to code, to help them build an infrastructure where they can possibly withstand, to an extent, these type of storms that's coming through. And it's bad, Louis. And you have the people of the Grand Bahama and the Bahamas, all of the Bahamian islands, they want to stay within their island, but I know that they also they will look to us for some type of help, just not now, but also later.
You know, I mean, what's fascinating is the Bahamians have a long history here in South Florida. I mean, they basically built Miami before the city was founded.
Yeah.
And the South Florida region, you know, from Monroe County to Palm Beach. So a lot of folks here, you know, in the Black community are descendants of Bahamians. But briefly explain those roots here and you know, what you've been hearing from your constituents about what you've just been talking about, again, helping the islands become more resilient, you know, in their infrastructure and to protect them from the storms that are just getting more intense.
Absolutely, Lou. As you know, Coconut Grove, we have the area which is called the Bahamas, which is in South Miami. But you also have the area which I represent, which is known as Carver Ranches. Back in the early 20s and 30s, that's where a lot of Bahamians actually descended to build within that area. We have a very large Bahamian community in Carver Ranches, now known as West Park. And you're right, a lot of the Floridians who live here have family members who are there in the Bahamas, and a lot of people who live in Florida are from the Bahamas themselves. But for instance, my family, my dad's side, are all from Bahamas, from Nassau, Freeport, Cricket Island, Eutra. A lot of those islands which were hit, you know, we have family that's there. But you're right that the people of Bahamas are very resilient. But to even speak to the help that's needed to help the country become better resilient when it comes to their infrastructure is something that they want from the state's end. I mean, you look at the Grove area and the people who live within those areas. I mean, they speak about the resiliency of the people in Bahamas, but they don't have a lot when it comes to the architecture and the design of things that we have here in the state. And I'm sure they are looking to us for that type of assistance and that type of help. Even though they live here in the States now, there's still roots that are still ingrained within the people of the Bahamas. Even myself, I mean, although I don't live there, my family is there, but I love the Bahamas because of that resiliency that you and I both speak of.
Yeah. I want to go real quickly to, we did get a caller on, Fahmin is in Fort Lauderdale and has an update on his family. Fahmin, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Fahmin, tell us real quickly what you've been hearing.
Not very good stuff. I know that NASA is doing okay where the majority of my family is, but in terms of outer islands that being considered to be the family islands, Abaco has been hit really bad. There are people that are missing. Homes have been torn down. The communication that I'm getting from friends is kind of in and out because of the storm, obviously. But Abaco, it's really bad for Abaco right now. It's a very small island. It's not like New Providence, but New City. It's tough right now.
How are you getting through to family? What's the best means for you right now?
Right now, WhatsApp seems to be working okay. Phone calls, not so much. Yeah, but WhatsApp seems to be pretty reliable.
Yeah, so WhatsApp, the app on your phone, the WhatsApp.
Yes.
You know what? I mean, how often do you get to your family in the Bahamas? Because we've been talking about really how the Bahamas are set up, what they have and what they don't have to be able to handle something like this.
I get to visit my family at least once or twice a year. Like I said, that's pretty much in New Providence. city. You know, if I wanted to take a trip to a smaller island, such as Abaco, more than likely I would have to take two plane trips. Take a trip to New Providence, and then I would take a small trip on a plane to Abaco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So again, just to check, as you said, you've been hearing a little bit here and there from family, and as you've been pointing out, I mean, a lot of destruction. But there are people missing. People can't. There are people who cannot be found.
Correct. There are people who cannot be found. Family members are kind of scrambling all over the place to find each other. And I just wanted to touch on you guys, on how we. It's almost non-existent that we can contribute to global warming, but at the same time, every single year, the result of global warming is us dealing with a hurricane. It's kind of unfair. I mean, it's hard.
All right. Afamin, I apologize. Our phone lines are starting to go in and out. It's just going to be that kind of day. But thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate it. And I hope your family is doing all right and that they get through this. I hope that, you know, whatever happens that, you know, in the end, they can always rebuild. But thank you so much for the call.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. You know what, Representative Jones, coming back to you, what have you heard from the state when this is over? You know, what kind of help will the state, will the federal government be able to give to the Bahamas?
Yeah, absolutely. I had the opportunity to speak with Congresswoman Wilson earlier today, and I know she had been in contact with the USAID, I believe, and she'd also been in conversation with the White House, who make it very clear that once Florida is in the clear and once the ports open back up, that they're going to send Coast Guards out to begin the rescue efforts in the Bahamas. I also, right after, and Director Moskowitz make it very clear that they, too, within the state of Florida, are all clear, and once we are here within the state, within our state, that we were going to aid the federal government in whatever way possible to help them to send aid out. The last person I spoke with was Stephanie from the governor's office. Stephanie called to check on my family. She saw the tweet that went out that came from my cousin Vernon. But then she also made it clear that the government is willing and ready to assist in what would be done to help the people of the Bahamas. There's a lot of relief efforts that's taking place right now, Lewis, from activist groups that are coming together, only individuals looking at that way over there to help in any of these possible. So I mean, it's three all hands on deck, and everyone is willing and ready to help when needed.
Right, right. You know what, Representative Jones, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for sharing. I hope that, again, your family and anyone else you know in the Bahamas are doing all right, regardless of whatever the damage is that could be rebuilt, but that they're okay, and we will keep in touch.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. And again, I apologize. We are having issues with the phone lines. I'd imagine it's going to be like that in and out over the next couple of days. All right, we're going to go now to Madeline Fox. She is our WLRN West Palm Beach reporter. She is up there, I believe, at the Emergency Operations Center. Maddie, are you there?
I am here, here in the EOC in West Palm.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, you know what, Maddie, real quickly, give us a sense of what you've seen. You know, what's going on in Palm Beach County? I mean, here in Miami-Dade, I was driving to work, and obviously, I mean, being Labor Day, but also just because of the storm, not a lot of people out there. I saw a few things open. Most things are closed. But what's going on in Palm Beach County?
Well, it's like you said, it is Labor Day, so some stuff was going to be closed anyway. But I was around downtown Lake Worth this morning and saw a lot of boards up, a lot of hurricane shutters up. I've been seeing people put those up in the last few days. Most places had already been secured, but some were still getting the last little things up this morning. There's a few places still open, although I think a lot tried to close around noon or 1. And I believe some of our grocery stores and our gas stations are still selling stuff. A lot of places ran out of gas on Thursday, and there were gas lines Friday, but we got some restocking over the weekend. And actually, when I went out to get gas yesterday, I didn't have a line at all. So it's been this has been such a slow burn that it's been kind of a variation over the last 2 days.
Yeah, it's been a very strange, you know, a very strange storm, having been through just about every kind of storm there is, every category storm. Everybody was racing to get that gas and supplies early, and then it slowed down, and now there is gas in a lot of places. But you're at the EOC. Just remind us again real quickly, who else is at the EOC and what happens there?
Well, we've definitely got folks from fire and rescue and from the sheriff's office. I saw State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg a little bit earlier, and I believe we've got folks from the county government somewhere on the premises. They didn't hold a media briefing today, so we haven't seen folks as much as in past days. It's actually kind of quiet here right now. We haven't gone into full lockdown yet, so I think it's still kind of early stages and it is kind of empty, but that's about, I would expect that some of the county officials and of course, fire and rescue and sheriff are gonna hold out here for the storm.
Yeah. And again, I just want to mention that, you know, for this program, we're talking about Hurricane Dorian, only Hurricane Dorian, and just getting people updated on the latest information, trying to keep you informed on the forecast, but also any other information that we can get to you. And we want to hear from you. If you do have a family or friends in the Bahamas and you've heard anything from them, we'd love to hear from you. If you live in Palm Beach County, you live in Broward County, Broward County still, I believe, under a hurricane watch, Palm Beach County under a hurricane warning. That storm is expected to turn and go north, but it will hug the coast. And many parts of the coast are going to get hit with some very strong winds and rain. What have you done to prepare? What have you done to get ready for this? We'd love to hear your thoughts. If you have questions from Palm Beach County, give us a call, 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. Find us on Twitter or Facebook at WLRN Sundial. Let us know what's happening with you. So, Maddie, again, being at the EOC, they do give regular updates, but the last thing we heard was from the governor, where he was calling for some evacuations.
That's right. Actually, an evacuation order, I believe, went out yesterday for two parts of Palm Beach County. One, zones A and B is what they're calling it. So any mobile homes or substandard housing, and then places on the really close to the coast and like in the north up by Jupiter to Cuesta, which again is very susceptible to water coming in. That seems to be the only place they're planning on evacuations right now. The only thing I've heard is that if a lot of water starts coming in, they may consider evacuating the Glades area around Lake Okeechobee, because they've got about 4 more feet on Lake O, and then it gets a little dicey.
You know, what are they telling folks about being safe? I mean, I know it's the stuff that we talk about all the time, but, you know, what are officials telling people? Because, again, Palm Beach County is under a hurricane warning.
Right. Well, it's mostly been in two categories. There's the preparation, which they're saying food and water and medicines and everything else you need for 7 days, which is more than we usually hear. I think 2 or 3 days is typically more standard, but there really has been a push this time on, even after the storm passes, try not to go out. So that's the other category of warnings that they're really giving residents is after the storm. Like, stay away from downed power lines. Don't get out when the streets are flooded. Do not get in standing water because there could be live electricity there. And make sure you don't block emergency vehicles and then crews trying to restore the power. So it's really been a lot of be careful, be ready before the storm and be careful after the storm.
And I want to correct myself, by the way, that I just mentioned Broward County is in a tropical storm watch, not a hurricane watch. My apologies. Again, the storm is changing. It was downgraded from a 5 to a 4, but it is still sitting out there, only moving at about a mile an hour. So it's still sitting right off the coast. So you will still feel, you know, some pretty strong winds and rains over the next 24 hours or more. You know, Maddie, the other thing, too, is this. I wonder, had they opened up shelters or, you know, are they even going to consider that at this point?
Yes, actually, we've had 9 shelters open since yesterday, regular shelters, and then a special needs shelter and a pet-friendly shelter. From the latest I've heard, which was maybe just an hour ago, they're not at capacity in any of their shelters, not even the special needs and the pets, which are limited capacity, and there's only one of each of those. So, yes, they have open shelters. People are going, but it doesn't sound like in huge numbers.
Do you know by any chance if anybody is evacuating or if they're telling people to evacuate is to, like, what direction are they going in? Are they heading west? Are they heading south?
You know, actually, what's strange is I haven't seen a lot of people evacuating, but what the county has been telling us is they're advising you to evacuate within Palm Beach County. So try to go like a mile west, like you said, although, again, not to the area around Lake Okeechobee, just in case. But the idea, the way that they keep putting it is try to evacuate miles, not hundreds of miles. And don't go north because there's a chance that the storm could turn that way.
Yeah, no, again, yeah, the storm is expected to turn north and hug the coast and head up Florida the rest of this week. Just real quickly as we finish up here, you are going to be staying at the EOC. Are we expecting any updates anytime soon or later today?
Not for sure yet. I would imagine that people are going to trickle in and out and give us bits of information as they can. I think once we go into lockdown, we'll start getting more regular updates, but we don't even know when or truly if we're going into lockdown at this point. So much depends on when the storm hits and how hard.
Gotcha. Again, talking with Palm Beach County reporter Madeline Fox. Maddie, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, I want to turn things now let's look at Broward County. Again, they're expected to experience some tropical storm winds in the next 24 hours. The county is under a tropical storm watch. Reporter Katie Swatalski now joining us. Katie, where are you at right now?
Hi, Lewis. I'm in Hollywood, and we're in one of those rare moments of the
there?
Morning.
Katie, are you there?
Hey, Lewis, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Katie, yes. Katie,
hey.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Hollywood, and we're in one of the rare moments of the morning where it's a little bit sunny. We just got through a big pocket of rain. I'm east of I-95, and that's going to be the stretch this afternoon in particular that we're under a significant weather advisory right now. So the county and the National Weather Service are sending out alerts so that people are mindful. We could be getting wind gusts over 45 miles an hour, even up to 74 miles an hour. So that's something to watch for this afternoon with much more rain and actually, you know, potential tornadoes.
You know what? What have you seen today as you were driving around the county, around the area? What's going on? How are people reacting?
Well, lots of puddles from King Tide. So we're getting rain and it's just kind of adding standing water to the area. But also when I was driving on US 1 this morning, like north through Dania Beach, a lot of people were waiting at bus stops. And the county, Broward County officials announced yesterday evening that there's not normal bus service today. There's not regular bus service. And so I did see some folks under umbrellas, kind of like looking at their watches, wondering if their bus was going to come. And it's not. We don't have an announcement yet if that will be back tomorrow. Broward County officials are supposed to be having another press conference at 5 p.m. today. So we'll see if that still stands.
And have you learned from officials as to, you know, what they expect and, you know, obviously when things sort of start to get back to normal? Is it tomorrow, by Thursday, Wednesday, I should say?
So hopefully by the end of tomorrow, things should be over. But we're in that period right now from about this afternoon, 2 o'clock on, at least through tomorrow morning, where there's lots of, you know, potential wind gusts expected, potential tornadoes, rain. So this is the time for people to really stay inside. Moving towards the end of the day tomorrow, it's supposed to be more clear. But, you know, depending on how slow Dorian keeps moving, this could stay this way until Wednesday morning.
And again, most everything now, I believe everything now is closed. I mean, the airport is closed. Is that right?
Yep. Airport closed at noon today. Port Everglades is closed. All county buildings, parks are closed. And the courthouse and schools are closed through tomorrow. So things are not even going to be open in Broward tomorrow. We're looking at more openings on Wednesday. But again, if Dorian stays hovering over us like this slowly, that could change again.
Where are you going to be based out of, and what are you planning on doing over the next 24, 48 hours?
Checking in with updates from the county, from the Emergency Operations Center. It's really touch and go in terms of what to expect now. So right now I'm still in Hollywood watching for winds and rain, but we'll see as the day goes on.
All right. Again, Katie Swatalski, our Broward County reporter, reporting from Hollywood. Again, they are under a tropical storm watch. Again, that means you could still feel some pretty strong winds and rains over the next 24 hours. We'll keep you updated on that. Katie, thanks so much.
Thanks, Lewis.
And again, we want to hear from you. You can give us a call, 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. I know we had some issues with the phones. We're going to try to get some of those through. You can, if anything, find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. And let us know what's happening in your community right now, what's happening where you're at. And again, if you have friends or family in the Bahamas, let us know what you've been hearing. I want to turn things over now to Valencia Gunder. She's Bahamian and a community activist. She's helping coordinate relief efforts for those in need in the Bahamas. Ms. Gunder, thank you so much for joining us today. Ms. Gunder, do I have you there?
Yes, you have me here. How you doing?
I'm doing great. A better question is, how are you doing?
I am sweaty, wet, and tired, but I'm in good spirits.
Tell me a little bit about what you've been hearing. We have gotten a couple of updates from folks about what's happened in the Bahamas, but what have you heard so far?
Well, you know, most everybody is still hunkered down, unless, you know, your property or where you were staying is what, you know, tore apart because of the storm. Just a lot of people are in a lot of need. We're getting text messages and videos and voice notes from the islands. Just saw a picture of a friend and her 95-year-old father and her newborn baby are literally sitting in the car because their house was torn apart. And they're still waiting for relief. So that's the type of stuff we're hearing on the ground. Yeah.
And what do those videos show? What do you see?
Well, it's showing that, like, power lines are down, houses torn apart, businesses going away. I mean, I saw one video with a boat in the middle of the street, car windows busted out. I mean, real bad. Stuff everywhere, debris thrown everywhere. So, yeah.
So there are relief efforts right now underway. Help me understand. What are you doing right now?
So we have the Community Emergency Operations Center. We are functioning out of the Dr. Dorothy Bindrose Mindegall Social Economic Institute in Liberty City, and we are collecting items that we're going to send over to the Bahamas. So we have a room full of water, diapers, wipes, soap, cleaning supplies, hygiene products, and we're still collecting more and more and more.
And what are
there's a lot of volunteers in here.
What are the greatest supplies in need right now? What do you need most?
Well, from the looks of it, it looks like most people are going to need things like tents, clean, like hygiene products, like things to take a shower and stuff like that. Of course, non-perishable foods and water, definitely water.
And how are you coordinating gathering all this? What, you know, at what point you'll be able to get it over to the Bahamas?
So we're looking to actually get the supplies over by the beginning or the middle of next week. We are working closely with a lot of different organizations across South Florida as a joint effort, and we are waiting to hear back from some of the leaders in the Bahamas to give us a full assessment and a timeline of when we can start to ship things over.
You have family over there, right?
Yes.
You know, have you been in touch with them?
Well, my aunt and my grandmother had been in touch with them yesterday. They say they haven't been able to get in touch with them much today. But they're talking to them today. So they are okay. They're weathering the storm. Most of my family is in Nassau and Freeport. So they still waiting to get the all clear.
You know,
I'm sorry?
No, continue.
No, so they just waiting to get the all clear so they can, you know, assess their situation and let us know what it is that they need.
You know, earlier in the show, we were talking about how the Bahamas are set up. You know, are they able to handle these kind of storms? Now, the Bahamas get hit a lot more frequently than we do in Florida. But, I mean, you know, I don't know the last time you were there. Are the Bahamas built to handle something like this?
I think they were built to be, deal with other kind of storms. I think Dorian is just different. Like how Irma was so different. Like these are just different types of storms. They're stronger, they're bigger, they're moving slower. You know, I was just thinking about Hurricane Andrew, like how it was a few hours, right? Even though it was devastating to South Florida, it was a few hours. Like this storm has been in the Bahamas almost, over 24 hours? So that's I think that's probably what it is that they can't handle. I believe, like, if the storm would have came and went within a few hours, I believe that they would have been able to, you know, quickly start the recovery. But I'm unsure if they, like, have things in place for these type of storms, because these are new types of storms that we're seeing.
Yeah. And you know what? I know because we also mentioned that, I mean, the prime minister had called for an evacuation of many of the islands. Is it easy to get out?
Well, it depends. I mean, some of the islands you actually have to take a boat to get to. I believe the airport is in, what, Nassau or Freeport? So, like, I'm quite sure it's not as easy to evacuate. And, you know, it costs money to evacuate. So I'm not sure if everybody has the resources to do so. So I don't think, I don't know for sure, but I doubt seriously that it's easy to evacuate.
So if people have any of these supplies that you're looking for, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Well, they can stop by the Community Emergency Operations Center every day this week from the hours of 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And we are located at 5120 Northwest 24th Avenue, Miami, Florida, 33147. And if they want to actually get in direct contact with me, they can actually send me an email to valenciagunder@gmail.com, and I'll be able to respond to them that way.
How many people do you have helping you right now? I mean, as you're sorting through everything that's coming in and where you're getting, you know, where else you're getting supplies?
Yeah, so we have about 40 people in the center right now.
Okay. Do you need any other volunteers?
Yes. So what's happening now is that some of the larger loads of donations coming in, we're here until 6 p.m. So I'm assuming that we will need more help depending on how fast the donations come in and the amount. I believe tomorrow we'll probably need more hands because the word is getting out there and we'll need more help.
Mm. And again, as you said, you know, you're going to be collecting the basic items, the water, the toiletries, and non-perishable foods. And you, as you said, you think that you'll be able to start getting this these supplies to the Bahamas by next week.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Again, just remind people, what are you looking for? What do you need?
So, water, non-perishable foods. We're looking for tents, shovels. Generators. We're looking for tarps. We need help with baby items, so diapers, wipes, formula. Insurance is a thing that's being asked for. Feminine hygiene products depends for our senior citizens. And that's what I could think of offhand. In the list, if they go to the Smile Trust on social media, they'll be able to see the full list of supplies that's needed.
Fantastic. Again, Valencia Gunder, a Bahamian and also a community activist in helping coordinate these relief efforts to get basic supplies to the Bahamas. They are collecting stuff now. And just to mention, we have shared that info. All the info she's given, we've shared it on her social media. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Valencia, thank you so much, and the best to you and your family.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And that's our program for today, this Monday, September 2nd. Again, we're going to stay on Hurricane Dorian throughout the day. Just stay tuned to WLRN or WLRN.org. We'll give you all the latest updates on what the hurricane is doing. Again, the latest is that it was downgraded to a Category 4 storm, but still moving extremely slowly, if at all. It's really moving barely at a mile per hour. It's sitting there on top of Freeport. It is expected to make that northerly turn and hug the coast. But again, Palm Beach County, Broward County will start to feel some of those effects within the next 24 hours. Remember, you can always download the Florida Storms app for your Android or your iPhone. It's free. It's just another way to keep yourself informed on what's going on. And again, you can always find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Let us know how you're doing, you know, any prep that you've done, any questions that you have. We'll try to find those answers for you. Thank you again so much for listening. I'm Luis Hernandez. Please stay safe, stay tuned with us, and we'll all get through this together. Thanks again. We'll talk tomorrow.